Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. This is episode number 127. And coming up on today's show, a movie. This is a Netflix original. It's a little off the beaten path, but I want to give you a quick overview of this new film that we saw over the weekend. Also, speaking of off the beaten path, learning the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, in Syriac Aramaic. Why and how? We'll get into that a little bit as well. And spiritual wonder. That's a topic that we're going to cover on today's program because as we go through the beginning of the year, and again, focusing on the theme, at least for me, that's my hope, to be fully alive. The last couple shows, we talked about physically being fully alive. Today, though, I want to zero in a little bit on the spiritual aspect of that. Thomas Merton talks about that. He says, contemplation is the highest expression of man's intellectual and spiritual life. Fully awake, fully active in a spiritual sense is to be fully alive. And he says, this is a soul who knows itself. And if I find him, I find myself. But that can be hard to do. So I'm trying personally to do a better job of slowing down. And this has been a long-standing struggle. A light was turned on that has helped me, and I want to share it with you. It's called the Slow Me Down Prayer. It's a prayer I found years ago. Every now and then I'll go back to it, but I just this year decided to put it in my planner. I did a little Insta story. I've been trying to do that more. So if you saw social media, there was a glimpse of that. I took my little mismatched washi tape and printed it inside my planner so I can remember. And the funny thing is this week I was in traffic with the kids late for an appointment and we got delayed and we got behind a slow car. And in my impatience, I started to get frustrated. And in the middle of that, I stopped and I started to say this prayer out loud, repeating it, and it changed everything. And maybe that will only be one time and it will never work again. But in that moment, I felt that rush of patience and peace and that kind of reality check. Like, what in the world is so important that it's an emergency? It's really not. And so I want to begin the show sharing that prayer with you as well. If you would join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with the vision of the eternal march of time. Give me, amid the confusion of the day, the calmness of the eternal hills. Break the tension of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Help me to know the magical, restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to look at a flower or chat with a friend, or to pat a dog, or to read even just a few lines of a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values that I may grow toward the stars of my greater destiny. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
It's Brooks.
House.
Ow. It's Brooks.
House.
Well, come on in. We have been laid up a little bit over the weekend. My son, Gus, my little guy, currently sitting next to a bucket because he's got the stomach flu, but he's been a trooper. He's getting better. Thankfully, it was just short-lived. Also on Brooks' House, we've had a running conversation lately about the ridiculous Tide Pod Challenge. Have you heard about this? It's been a topic of conversation. My oldest son, thankfully, told me about this crazy trend going around. I hate to even call it that, but if you haven't heard, teens now are making a game out of biting into, even vaping, the liquid in these Tide detergent capsules. They're challenging friends to do the same. I mean, think of the ice bucket challenge, except this is deadly and dangerous, and it's the Tide Pod Challenge. And my husband and I were talking about this on the way back from church. Every generation has their idiotic, stupid, and sometimes deadly trends that they go through as teenagers. But this generation, with the proliferation of social media, whether it's Snapchat or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. It's becoming a thing. And as much as we talk to our kids and think, my child would never do that, you never know and you can never assume. So it's been a dialogue quite a bit over the last week. And Dr. Anne, who is on our Arise team, you've heard her voice on the show, and is a family physician, had some advice to offer. So I called her up as well, and this is what she had to say. She said, number one, when it comes to this ridiculous Tide Pod challenge, talk openly with your kids about these things. Number two, keep the number to poison control easily accessible. Don't worry, they won't report you or get you in trouble. They are there to help. Number three, don't buy laundry pods if you have kids under five or teens. Since they're so concentrated, you're trading safety for convenience. If you must buy them, keep them in a locked cabinet out of reach of little ones. The other product to use cautiously is dishwasher detergent in packet form. Some are gel-filled and brightly colored, like the Tide Pods. So thank you, Dr. Ann, for that. And there is never a shortage to pray for when it comes to our teenagers, our kids of any age, and some of the assaults that they're going through in the culture, in spiritual battle, you name it. So thank you again to Dr. Ann. And in addition to all of that, there has been music, a soundtrack that's been looped over and over in our home for the last week. And that is the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father in Aramaic. And I want you just to take a listen to it. Allow it to penetrate through your pores and into your heart. But first, I want to explain a little bit of why I've been playing this and have been called to memorize the words of this prayer. It's called Abun Debashmayo, and it goes back for me to the overnight, the hours that I spent at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. I spent most of my time, those overnight hours, huddled up in a Jacobite Syrian chapel. It's located, if you're in the church, behind on the western side of the Holy Sepulchre rotunda walls. It's kind of tucked back in there where no one goes. And in all of the church, it was an area that was completely empty. And so that's where I spent my time. There are denominations that share space in the church, but the Syrians and their chapel, that's their space, clearly, obviously, have no funds for repairs. So the chapel looks like, when you go in, a war zone. It looks like a bombed out cave. And I want to post some pictures. I can share this on Facebook and also on my Insta stories as well for you to actually see and go there in a virtual way. But the entire chapel is now dilapidated and empty except for this small wooden kind of splintered and broken off altar. And it's ancient and you can tell. I mean, it, again, has not been well kept. So the walls are damaged by fire. It's blackened and discolored. And there's also a natural cave there where you can hunch over and go deeper into the space where the tombs of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus are, Luke 23:50-56. And I wrote in my journal at that time when I was sitting there, this isn't anything profound or revolutionary, it's just a simple reflection, but will maybe bring to life a little bit of how it was there. It says, sitting in the Syrian chapel on the floor, there were no pews, there's no place to sit, a faded, ghostly, abandoned chapel. An altar. A painting behind the altar is now vanished, and only broken glass and tattered, broken-off wood remains. The tombs of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus lie side by side deep in a dark hollow of the wall. Graffiti borders the exit of the chapel. I pray for the people of Syria. They come from a noble line with a proud history. May God give them peace and restore their dignity. And since that time, there's been a really weird Pentecost going on within me when it comes to Syria. I feel drawn there. I feel curious about the people, the language, the history. There's no question they need prayer. We know the state of emergency and near genocide that has been happening there. But what do we do where we are to actually make a difference? And so when I presented this question in prayer, the answer that came back to me just seemed very bizarre, and that was learning the Lord's Prayer, learning the Our Father in Aramaic, which, with as busy as I am, the challenges that I deal with on a daily basis with my daughter, not to mention the five kiddos, trying to run a ministry, doing speaking events, it's like, oh, sure, why not? Just throw that into the mix. But I cannot tell you how incredibly therapeutic and spiritually edifying this experience has been for me. Did you know, by the way, when it comes to Syria, it is mentioned over 300 times in sacred scripture. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus is on the road to Damascus. Paul's first mission was in Antioch. Jesus Christ, our Lord, his disciples were called Christians for the first time in this city, in Antioch. It was the epicenter of early Christianity, looking at how significant Syria is. So that's been my mission every day, listening to this prayer, which in and of itself I find just so beautiful, writing out the words phonetically, because if you actually look at the words that are in English, it's not going to help you. I was like, okay, I am never going to get this when I looked at it. There's a website. It's actually called learnaramaic.blogspot.com, and it's really a good source of inspiration and information. And that's where I've used the chant, the melody. Again, it also has the accompanying words. And so I had to write it out phonetically, create a chain in my brain that connected the words with the melody and go from there. And believe it or not, it has worked. And those are the things that are exciting because we have access to everything in the world, the knowledge of the universe, really, on the internet. Anything that you want to look up is there. So for me, it's been a good reminder of how am I spending my time? What am I doing with my days? I could actually be learning this. I'm listening right now to a lecture on Michelangelo, and it talks about how he memorized every word of Dante. And as if his artwork and poetry and letters and everything else didn't speak to his genius enough, that alone is a legitimate piece of evidence that says, yeah, he was a pretty brilliant guy. And that takes time to do all of that. And we, in a lot of ways, can expedite that because we have the access to everything right there. I was telling this to my kids. And the amazing, beautiful thing is I heard my daughter, Carolina, who still struggles with speech and is mostly nonverbal, at least not in a functional way. And here she is learning the melody. And so it's kind of been one of those things where I feel like the Holy Spirit led and I'm following and I'm kind of surprised by this whole thing. I didn't have this thing planned out. But learning it has really been such a wonderful opportunity to enter into the language of my beloved in a way that I never imagined. And I could totally go on a rabbit trail and sing the praises of pilgrimages. And this is why I love taking trips like that, because things that come from it are beyond anything that we could have ever imagined. But one of the ideas that I had, and I'm just going to throw this out there, I don't know if it's going to flop. I don't know if anyone cares. But as I was learning it and as I prayed, with this passion that I have for the Syrian people and the persecuted Christians all over the Middle East in particular, and that is, what if we did a campaign, families, moms, bloggers, social media influencers, where we learned the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic? And in doing so, we're entering into unity, to solidarity with the persecuted Christians. We're saying, we share one Father who art in heaven, and concurrently, over Lent, raise money to help and support them. I thought about, what about my kids' school? If the kids learned this, they would have that for the rest of their lives. They could sing it at Mass. We could take up a collection for the persecuted Christians.
That's a froggy.
Carolina's focused on the frogs. Thank you. They may need help too. But even in Bethlehem, I remember coming back and talking about how the Christians in Bethlehem are suppressed, oppressed, persecuted there. And so something so small, seemingly on our part, could really have a far-reaching effect, not only immediately, but lifelong for those who learn this prayer. And that would be an opportunity during Lent to do something with our hands and feet, our voices and our heart, not just necessarily donate, but to give in a way that, who knows, might eventually reach back, or a Christian in the Middle East would say, oh my goodness, they are learning the language. They still speak Aramaic today. Neo-Aramaic languages are found in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran, in Turkey. And so my heart was just burning. I was getting excited thinking about this. And I was telling my boys about this. I said, guys, if I can learn it, you know you can learn it. And they see every day my shortcomings and how I really don't have it together. And so that's, for our family, been our mission. And I thought, if I can learn it first, that will be a good place to start. And I can even write it on a poster board, put it by our altar. And when we do our landing time during Lent, that gives us 40 days. I learned it in almost a week. We could do it in 40 days. So really, without thinking too much about it, the Holy Spirit put this together. That is where we're going to be going for Lent. We're going to be learning Abun Debashmayo. And I invite you to be a part of it. I don't have a packaged presentation to offer you where it says, we're going to do this and here's the hashtag and here's where you want to donate. But if you are interested, could you reach out to me? Would you let me know? feedback@goodthingsradio.com is the email. You can also reach me at Voxer, It's a free app you can download, and you can leave a voice message that way or text too. And you can find me at Brooke Taylor, the number one. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else. And I'm kind of walking without the lights on here. I don't know if this seed that was placed was just meant to be for our family in the little internal cell, the citadel of our home, or if there's a greater reach that the Lord is asking. So I'm presenting it to you, asking for your feedback, and would love your thoughts on that. And in the meantime, take a listen to the prayer.
Abund bashmayo. Nethakada shishimo. Tise malukuso. Nehawe sebayono. I cannot bashmayo. Of Baruch Habalan Lachmud Sinukunan Yamanu Ashabukalan Chobayin Wachatohain Akanu Tofachanan Shabakun Lachayobain Lo talan l'nesayuno elo fasolan men abishu metul telohi malkuto chai lo tashabuchato L'olam olmin amin.
Sitting in the darkness, what a world to see. Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
So in the process of hibernating over this weekend with my son being sick, catching up on laundry, I was able to catch a movie. It was a Netflix original that I just stumbled on. I think I'm going to give you a movie recommendation about this. I'm not sure. It's kind of like in the middle. It's not all the way thumbs up, but it's not thumbs down. There was actually a lot to contemplate. It's called The Polka King. Have you heard about it? I was attracted for obvious reasons. It's about a Polish immigrant, and it's a true story. It's got inspirational threads, but it's also got a bit of a fall from grace element too. It stars Jack Black, and I'm reading now the little snapshot biography here. It says it's the story, the real story, of a local Pennsylvania polka legend, Jan Lewan. He develops a plan to get rich that shocks his fans and eventually lands him in jail. And this is a real guy with a real story who met Pope John Paul II and President Bush and a lot of Donald Trump, a lot of famous people. He was sometimes called the Polish Elvis. And if you're in the Midwest, you may have heard of him. I actually haven't, but I wasn't involved in the polka scene. He was nominated for a Grammy at one point. And the humor, because it is a pretty funny movie, I'll say, is kind of along the lines of if you've ever seen the movie A Mighty Wind or Best in Show or even like Napoleon Dynamite, it's just kind of a different, I mean, it's definitely got like a 70s and 80s vibe to it. But I have to say, I pretty much liked it. I really did, because there's complex elements of it. Whenever there's a story about the human condition, a guy who legitimately loves America, wants to make it big, wants to support his family, but also loves his Polish heritage. I like the fact that it really went inside the life of an immigrant in kind of an unusual way, but one that was really endearing. So you can't help but kind of root for the guy. And yet you're seeing him walk into what is going to be a train wreck. You know it, you see it. You also see the morality playing out because he's a faithful Catholic. He goes to confession. He ends up setting up, I don't want to give you a spoiler alert, but he kind of ends up setting up a Ponzi scheme unwittingly. He really doesn't know at first. And then afterwards, he kind of gets in over his head. He's in too deep. And I don't mean to laugh, because at the end of the day, real people were financially ruined. And we know the Bernie Madoff story. That did not end well. Lives were ruined. It was a horrible situation. But again, it also doesn't happen overnight. You see how people can go down a slippery slope. And that's kind of what happened with polka melodies playing in the background the whole time. So I don't think that it's one necessarily for the whole family. There were definitely some innuendos in there that aren't appropriate. But as an adult movie, I thought that it was pretty good. I would love to know. I would like someone to back me up on this. Did you see it? And of course, any true story like that, I'm inspired then afterwards to go out and learn the real story. I guess Jack Black was really passionate about this film, wanted the story from day one. And it's also debuting at Sundance. They give the movie 3 out of 4 stars. So there you have it. It's free streaming on Netflix. It's called The Polka King. And after all of that, check out the trailer.
When I was little boy in Poland, all the times I dreaming of America. Your invest helped build all my business.
You cannot go wrong with this man. He never stops.
We went in.
We all get rich.
I heard that people are investing money with you.
Yes, come see me at the show.
Great job out there, Lonnie. We did real good manage today.
Mr. Lawan, do you know why I'm here?
Yes. He's very good investment to help build empire.
Oh, no. I'm not here to invest. What you're doing is illegal. As of today, you have to give all that money back to your investors.
Today or some other today?
Are you in trouble?
No. I just need to fill out papers and forms.
We're pulling our money out.
Bribes are being alleged.
This business stinks.
You were greedy! You only have yourselves! Play.
There's something very wrong with you!
It's America. We all get second chance.
And there you have it, from the Tide Pod Challenge and that whole crazy thing to learning the Our Father in Syriac Aramaic to the Polka King, a little bit of everything on today's show. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. A big thank you to our Podbean patrons. Now I feel nervous about saying the word pod. I don't even want to say that. Our GTR, good friends of the show, it is because of you that the program is here, and we're so thankful for your support. If you want to become a GTR good friend of the show, all you need to do is click the link on the show notes, and you can give every month, whether it's $1, $20, any little bit helps. And we so appreciate your prayers and your encouragement with the program. Tell a friend about the show, too. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills in quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire. And so to find out more, visit him at cumminghomestudio.com. May the Lord slow you down, give you grace, that you may feel his presence today and every day. God bless you, friends. Until next time.